The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
Welcome to the Music Room,
a program featuring a combination of new music and interviews with musicians from a wide variety of genres.
And now, the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.
And good morning, everybody. It's Amanda Richard here, along with
Ryan Thornton.
And Ryan, who do we have for today's show?
Today we have a college band called the Nate Chung Project.
And we're going to get Nate on the line here. But while we're getting him all set, let's listen to one of his songs. And you've picked out 23rd and I do believe.
That's correct.
Here we go. The Nate Chung Project and 23rd and I. On WVUD and WVUD HD1, Newark.
I'm looking for love.
right, so you just listened to 23rd and I from the Nate Chung Project. We have Nate Chung and Casey Dawson on the line. How are you doing, guys?
Good. Doing very well, thanks.
So why don't you tell us about that song, 23rd and I?
Sure. I spent my summer after freshman year in Washington, D.C., interning in the Senate, which was a great experience. And while I wasn't in the office, I was just living my life, and I lived at the corner of 23rd and I. So that's where the song gets its name. And just each different verse in that song sort of tells a different story about an experience I had that summer in Washington, D.C. I had two friends come and visit, so that's pretty much the first verse. My girlfriend came and visited a few times, so I think like the second and the third verse, and a bit of the chorus is kind of about that. But it's a song that I've lived with for a while here. I wrote it during the semester back at school after that summer, and I've played it in a variety of different arrangements. But the way that we recorded it and the way that we perform it now live is we've grown very comfortable with it. And yeah, I like, given that I wrote the song about real life experiences, which I do most of the time, I connect well with that song.
And you mentioned that you did this while you were interning from school. You're originally from Wyckoff, New Jersey, but you're up in Worcester, Massachusetts, attending
Holy Cross.
Is that where all your bandmates are from, too?
Yeah, I grew up around here.
So, yeah, Casey went to Holy Cross. He's finishing up school now. I'm a senior here at Holy Cross. My bassist is a senior as well, and our drummer is a junior. But the band, I've always took myself seriously as a songwriter. But coming into school, you know, there are a decent amount of musicians here at Holy Cross, and I've played with a fair amount. And sometimes we mesh well and work together well, sometimes we don't. But this group of guys that I'm with now is the group that I felt most comfortable with. Sean has been the most steady member of the band. He and I met early on freshman year and have just been playing music together since then. Casey, I'd actually met my freshman year as well, but he had left Holy Cross for a little bit and then came back kind of into my life my junior year. So then that's the three out of the four of us. And then towards the end of junior year actually is when we finally picked up our drummer, Frank, just in time for our campus's Battle of the Bands. And that's how the four of us, I guess, formed now to what's current Nate Chung Project.
I hear your school is helping you out with your music. Is that right?
It is, and it's actually an amazing deal. It took work on my part, so I guess I shouldn't discredit myself there, but Holy Cross, I guess in a sense, I could call them my record label right now. To be a little more specific, I've always shown a certain level of commitment to my music, and one of my professors here at school has recognized that. So when I didn't get into all of the classes that I wanted to, at the end of last year for this fall semester, I stumbled upon a course called Special Project, and essentially I proposed my own course, which is called the Self-Guided Course on Music Production. And Professor Mountain agreed to be my mentor. So the course was approved, and then not only was it approved, but I was directed over to the Ignite Fund, which supports some student projects on campus. So I actually also have a $1,500 budget to support my project throughout the year. And so far this semester, it's been going very well. Professor Mountain and I meet once a week, you know, just do progress support type stuff, listen to the progress of the songs, talk about the music industry, the way it's evolving. And I'm happy to have just found out that the continuation of my course throughout the spring semester up until graduation will be a thing. So I'm getting two class credits to essentially do what I love to do and work closely with my bandmates and Professor Mountain. So I'm extremely happy about it.
It's great, too. Like, Professor Mountain is, he's had, like, a long career as a mastering engineer. And he's really, like I said, been a mentor for the whole process. And
is he acting as your audio engineer, or is he teaching you guys how to engineer your own stuff?
Nate and I have sort of been engineering and producing, but I would say, in a way, he acts as a co-producer at times and kind of a mentor to give us, like, I don't know, just making like hard judgment calls about the process and things like that.
I definitely agree with Casey there. Casey and I both act as the main engineers. Like, I'll record my guitar. Casey will run the session as I record my acoustic guitar. I'll run the session for Casey while he's recording his electric guitar. So most of the actual recording process is in our hands. Where Professor Mountain comes in the most in terms of the creative process is actually towards the end. Once we do the recording and most of the mixing ourselves, we'll bring the project and the songs before him, and that's when he'll really chime in with the most constructive criticism. And then once we're happy with the mixes, he's actually been so kind as to bring us or invite us into his home studio. It's a mastering studio, so that's his specialty, actually. Mastering is the last step in the, production process of the song. In the case of our first album that we just put out, for the 8 tracks, when we bounce them out, you know, maybe the audio levels are a bit different, and while each song is getting mastered, each of those output levels are kind of compared against each other, so it improves just ease of listening for the listener. If they're listening through our album on Spotify or SoundCloud, they don't have to adjust volume themselves. It just sounds like a more professional product, as most people know listening to music to be.
Well, we're going to get ready to play the title track off your new album, Dreaming. Can you tell us about that song?
Sure. So it's a pretty meaningful song to us. I had mentioned earlier that Casey sort of came back into my life towards the beginning of spring semester last year, and Dreaming was really the first song that I was writing at the time that I presented to Casey as sort of an opportunity for us to work together on something. And we had been up here in the recording studio. We kind of just came up here to jam out a little bit, see how playing together would be. And it's funny, I actually, for whatever reason, I had taken a short video clip of that session. And now that Dreaming is out, I've actually, just as a little promotional gig, I took that original footage of us playing Dreaming literally for the first time ever together, and I kind of sped it up a bit just so it matches the tempo that we recorded the song to, and that's out there circulating now. The song itself is actually I came up with this idea for what I envisioned to be a love story between two animated characters, and I saw this whole music video in my head. So I guess this song is unique in that I actually came up with the idea for the music video before I really finished writing the actual song. I could get into it now, but then this would turn more into a storyteller session.
Well, I do remember Nate proposing this video idea to me, and I thought it was kind of crazy. I was like, wow, I guess it was kind of like his vision for the album or something. But I wasn't even necessarily in the band at that point. I was just playing guitar one day, and we made that video, and then it turned out that I'd end up sort of working really closely and spending hours on the project, too. And, yeah, that was kind of like a visionary moment for the album, I think, with that song.
Well, here it comes, Dreaming from the Nate Chung Project.
Yeah.
Time would take a we were over, so over, and I wouldn't asking my heart, is this too good to be true? I hear reaffirming words, this must be good for the both of us. I got down on one knee, I looked her in the eye. As far as I could tell, we were dreaming. As time would tell, we were over, so over. I wouldn't change this for the world. Now I'm wondering, would you? Would you come on over?
This is the Music Room on WVUD. Today we are talking on the phone with the Nate Chung Project. We have Nate Chung and Casey Dawson on the phone. Their album just came out called Dreaming. Guys, where can we find this album?
It is honestly exciting for me to be able to say that you can find the album on Spotify. I guess my strategy with the whole release was to put each track out on SoundCloud first. I guess that was partially a strategic decision and partially just me having to figure out the whole CD baby and digital distribution process along the way. But I put out these tracks on SoundCloud, and then it worked out when I uploaded that eighth track. It's an eight-track album. About a week later, it all appeared on Spotify. At the same time, Spotify, iTunes, and Apple Music, Pandora, all of the main streaming services now host our first album, Dreaming, which is very exciting because, as many people know, the creative process of working on an album is intense, and it takes a lot of work and energy and time and focus. But to see all of that in its final form on a streaming service like Spotify, which seems to be the kind of the dominant player in the streaming services industry now, it's definitely an exciting and rewarding feeling. So SoundCloud, Spotify, really anywhere. And it's great to be able to say.
I mean, the whole music business is so different from when I was in college back in the dark old days of the 1970s. You know, it's a college band can put this together and get it up online thanks to the digital music business. I told you off the air that, you know, my band still gets a check every year for about $50.
Right. And that's actually another point that Professor Mountain and I talk about. So as part of that self-guided course, there's the production component, and there's also a research component where I do some industry research, and we just chat about the history of the music business and its current form and where signs show that it might be headed. And we're all just, I guess, small players in it. And of course, everyone has their aspirations, but it works in two ways. The whole opportunity for an artist like myself, little known, to be able to say that I'm on Spotify and have people, I have friends in like Hong Kong and Ireland who are texting me and saying, oh, it's great to be listening to your music. So that's it's incredible for a person, an artist like me right now at my stage to be up on all of these platforms. But I guess in the same way, like the whole do-it-yourself, like, it creates opportunity for absolutely everybody, so it also increases competition. And, I always have changing thoughts about the industry today, but it's just nothing that I myself as an individual can necessarily change. So we're just navigating the waters right now.
Navigating the waters with the help of your school. I know a lot of bands around UD would be pretty jealous of your situation there.
Definitely. I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier the music scene up there at Holy Cross. You've played with a lot of other musicians, jailed with some, not so much with others. But what is the music scene like up there? Like, what's a live show like around there?
Sure. So actually, we just played a live show last night at Leitrim's, a pretty popular college Irish pub in Worcester. And we've been playing live frequently. We've been playing at the Ballot Box in Kelly Square and over at Loft 266. I was having a conversation with somebody last night who came, and we were kind of talking about how Worcester is a little more of a, I won't say it's necessarily home to one type of music, but I would say that acoustic rock music that we play, I wouldn't say fits in particularly well with the vibe of Worcester as a city. But Casey and I have made decisions to somewhat adjust to that by going into Boston, and we've been busking somewhat in the public garden and just making sure that we can be heard, not having what I just said about Worcester be a limitation to us in terms of being motivated to put on live shows and gain exposure to our music through live performance. But there are a lot of musicians here at school, and through playing live, we've also seen the types of bands that play out. So there's definitely a scene here. I think we would like, now as things are growing and becoming more serious, it's definitely a hope for us to kind of break into the Boston music scene throughout the winter and through next semester, through the spring, up until graduation. Boston is only a 45-minute ride away. I think we have fans here at Holy Cross who would be happy to come in and spend some time in Boston, enjoy a night. And then we also have many connections in Boston that would be excited about the opportunity to come see us there. So that's kind of on the checklist, is to explore that Boston scene. But at the same time, Worcester's been, it's been a fun place to work with the music and kind of grow with it as well.
It seems to me like Worcester is a little less competitive or something than Boston. Boston being more like overflowing with so many artists. I haven't been to as many local shows in Worcester as I'd like, though. I go to shows all the time in Boston. But, yeah, I mean, other people I've played with in Worcester and playing with the Nate Chung Project, like the people we do meet are feel to be kind of like a community at times. I think that's kind of nice.
So, Casey and Nate, what's different about busking in Boston? This time of year it gets pretty cold.
Yeah, so I think we were there 2 weeks ago. And we parked on Newberry Street. We started playing outside of the Prudential Center. And then, funny timing, we were packing up as the security guard came and told us that it was private property and we shouldn't be there. So then we walked over to Newberry Street and played about three or four songs before we were told that it's a residential neighborhood and that we also shouldn't be there. So then we hopped in our car and went to the public garden. Now, I had actually had experience with busking in the public garden. After my sophomore year in school, I sort of created my own internship, and I paired busking in Boston with riding my bicycle around, delivering stuff to people as a way for me to somewhat support myself throughout that summer. So the Boston Public Garden was my favorite place to play. I'd been meaning to, kind of bring Casey there and for us to do that together. I thought we would be successful there and that people would appreciate it. And
did they fill up your guitar case with $10 bills?
Yeah, actually, he might have got a $10 bill. I think maybe one or two, and a couple fives. So it's always nice. But just what's more is when people are walking down the path and, from maybe 20, 30 feet away, you can see a small interaction between the two or the group. And then as they get closer, they decide to stop and listen intently for a song or two. Or even longer. So we kind of choose a nice place to play right off the path, and then there's the path, and then a few benches, and then the ponds where the famous swan boats in the public garden operate. And I think that the space itself is conducive to the type of acoustic music that we're playing. We have two small battery-powered amps, and a lot of people were stopping and even waiting till the songs were done to talk to us and learn from us about what we're doing and our passion for writing and playing music together. So it's actually one of my favorite things to do. And I would say that spot particularly is one of my favorite places to play.
I think that spot might be the best setting I've ever experienced us playing our songs in. Like the feel of the Nate Chung Project to me is playing over the water at the Boston Public Art.
Well, it definitely sounds like your passion comes through when one of you is making an internship, the other one's getting credit for class. But I keep hearing the benchmark of when we graduate. What happens to the Nate Chung project when you guys get ready to leave Holy Cross?
There's a degree of uncertainty and then a degree of certainty. I think the Nate Chung project platform is essentially a platform for me as a songwriter to always have a constant base and platform for me to operate as an artist and release music and work creatively with other people. But we're also very much like the Nate Chung project is right now is absolutely a band of four people creating and playing live acoustic rock music. I know that, so, yeah, when I say graduation, it's like, okay, my bassist lives in Florida, and then Casey and Frank live in Massachusetts. I live in New Jersey. I have a job after school. I'm going to be in New York. I actually have a transfer in to try and move that job to be in Boston. And if that's the case, I would say that I could continue playing at least with Casey a bit, which I would like to do, but I'm not exactly sure. I'll always continue playing music, writing music, and the Nate Chung project will always be a thing, but I guess I'm just going to have to deal with the cards as they come in.
It seems like, I guess maybe this is my perspective coming in more recently. Like, I wasn't in it as a freshman with Nate, but it is centered around, like, Nate's songs, essentially, and I feel like my role in the band, I view myself as just helping those reach their potential and come to life, sort of. And whether it's me and Nate playing together, just the two of us or the four of us, or whether we introduce something totally different, it is about Nate's songs, and that's actually really freeing to me working on it.
Well, we have one more song from the Nate Chung project. We're going to play Taking Off to See the World. We want to thank you guys for coming on, Nate Chung and Casey Dawson from the Nate Chung project.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
And here is Taking Off to See the World from the Nate Chung project.
Stepping out to find a new. To the bus, to the beer, to the bar we go. To the cliffs on board the shore. Taxi, here we are, come take us home. I said I'm coming home with you. It's something I saw months ago. Now I'm happy that we're here, in a place that we don't know so well. Cheers to a happy home tonight. Coming home with you. It's something I saw months ago. Now I'm happy that we're here, in a place that we now know so well.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 New York.
For more information about this and other episodes, visit sites.udel.edu/TMR.
Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m.
for The Music Room on WVUD.